Hey everybody, welcome to the show. You are listening to the Dom and Colin podcast. My name is Colin and I'm here with Dom. Dom, how are you today?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. Now, today we are going to be talking about yet another crazy episode of Survivor, but very quickly, before we get into that, a couple of things. If you haven't checked out our retrospective with Big Brother 14 winner Ian Terry, definitely do that. And actually, Dom, as you know, this episode marks roughly about a year of us actually doing this show, so we just released a bonus episode with poker superstar Daniel Negreanu getting all of his thoughts on Survivor, such as stuff about the current season, and he's friends with Boston Rob. We talked to him a bit about that and much more. So definitely, you surely want to check that out and subscribe on iTunes to make sure you get that and all of our future episodes about that. So Dom, unless you have anything else to add, I think we're good to get into this week.
No, that's it. Although, to get into Survivor, I guess, because I think it's worth touching on some of the stuff that happened last week, namely RC going out. And we went over most of that, but I think there's still a few things to say if we want to get into that quickly.
Yeah, sure, let's do it. What do you have on your mind?
Well, there was a bit of new stuff featuring her. So she had the Ponderosa videos, her Day After video, a few secret scenes, all of which were pretty informative, actually. Like, there wasn't really much game content in there, but it's just interesting to see her in this kind of different context, I suppose.
Okay, well, catch me up, actually, if you don't mind.
Okay, well, she seemed fairly oblivious to the fact that scooping voting for Penner wasn't a strike against her. It was a way of, because basically, I think she didn't realize that it was going against her no matter what, and Scoobin was just told that, well, if you don't vote for Penner, then you're basically next to go. And so it wasn't as if Scoobin had betrayed her and Penner at the same time. It was a case of, well, I don't want to vote for either her or Penner, but I have to vote for one of them, so I have to go to vote for Penner. Mm-hmm. And whereas she was interpreting it as some kind of betrayal of either one or both of them. And I mean, this was her reflecting by herself, so maybe she hasn't fully caught up yet, and that's understandable. And maybe one or two more people come in and start giving her information to complete it together. I don't know. But one thing she said I liked, actually, was she said that she was obviously disappointed by how things went, but she'd made it pretty far in the game. And I thought, well, hold on a minute. Are we talking in absolute terms? Because you went to one tribal council, and you were voted out at that tribal council. Joining the illustrious ranks of Semha and, like, Christine. I can understand you saying you made it like 18 or 19 days or whatever, but that's not even halfway through the game. So I'm not sure what metric she's using here.
She made the merge.
Yeah, so did and that's another
kind beat. Of by default,
yeah. She also seemed like, in her Day After video, she was one of these people who always complains that, well, I'm such a rational player, and if only everyone else was as calm and rational as I am, if only everyone else was as smart as me, then maybe things would have gone differently. And to an extent, I think that's true. Like, I think she would have done better on a season that was actually more competitive, as weird as that sounds. She can't fully blame herself for the fact that Abby's just a crazy psychotic bitch who is not operating under any kind of rational scheme whatsoever. But at the same time, the fact that people like that are in the game is a fact of the game. It's just a given, and you have to know that going in there. So she has to accept some of the responsibility for the way she went out as well.
Yeah, definitely. And we bring up this point a lot where we can sit and theorize, and we do so thinking about it in absolute terms where people are using game logic. But realistically, we always acknowledge, I think, or at least try to, that that's just not going to be the case quite often, because in real time, they cast people like Abby Maria and so forth, who may not always respond to logic necessarily. Now, Dom, I wasn't aware that in bringing up RC, you were just going to spend the entire time trashing the love of my life. So let's talk about this actual episode now, I think. And the first thing I think worth hitting on is the opening scene where Penner's back at camp and he kind of wants to know what happens after, you know, he knows he played his idol and he knows he got the majority of the votes, but he was hoping that wasn't going to be the case. And what do you think about Jeff Kent's line here?
I think both of them knew what was going on at that point, so there's no reason for them to just try and bullshit each other. And I think it's actually a sign of the respect that they have for each other as competitors that they were able to do that.
I think Jeff Kent did a decent job, yeah. I think there's not a ton you can really be saying to Jonathan Penner if you're Jeff Kent in that situation. But he said something along the lines of like, yeah, you know, well, when the big picture doesn't really come together, what do you want to do, go down with a sinking ship or no? And I think, again, there's just not much you're going to be able to say because Penner's obviously going to know that you, to a certain degree at least, betrayed him, if that's the word you want to use, or that he wants to use. But I think Jeff did a decent job at least.
Yeah, I think it's a logical thing to do and a mature thing to do. The one thing I would say, though, is that when people do that, they always seem to adopt this kind of patronizing tone as if, well, you do know it's a game, don't you? Well, yeah, of course he knows that. You don't need to explain that to him. Just be as direct about it as you can. Like, if you're operating under the principle that there's no point trying to lie that everyone knows what's going on. Just take that to the extreme and just embrace it.
Yeah, I don't know if Jeff Kent is aware of this, but Jonathan Penner is actually a returning player. He's played this game once or twice before, so he should know that it's a game for sure.
And I think the point I'm making is exemplified in the contrast between how Jeff Kent handled it and how Denise handled it. And you can argue that that's just a function of their personalities, but I think Denise, she wasn't like groveling on her knees apologizing, but she's just very matter of fact about it. Like, yeah, I voted against you. What I had to do, let's just move on with it.
Yeah, he asked who she voted for. She was like, you know, I voted for you, John, or something like that. And I very much like that out of Denise, because the point is, no one's going to be able to get away with losing their vote or anything, and that is the way that I think Penner would appreciate being handled in this situation. And that's really, I think, at the end of the day, what you want to be thinking about is how would the person who is probably going to feel betrayed want to be treated right now. Okay, well, again, I think it's just, generally speaking, when someone correctly plays an idol, it's going to be kind of awkward back at camp for the rest of the tribe.
Yeah, although we haven't seen... Have we seen somebody correctly play an idol recently? I mean, we had Troy Zan last season, but before that,
It's been quite a while. I think Russell on Parvati.
Right, but we saw the fallout of that, but it wasn't as awkward as it could have been, because it was presented as something that was happening from Russell's perspective and not from Parvati.
Right, yeah.
We didn't hear Parvati saying, oh my god, I always got voted out last night. It was Russell saying, well, I made this fantastic move and Boston Rob can go suck it and so on.
And so forth. I think that's a modest way of putting how Russell puts things. But yeah, no, I think it's been basically, I mean, nothing to this extent, since like Yao Man in Fiji, which was, I think, the first time.
But even then, like, we couldn't expect anything interesting after that happened. Firstly, because like it was an episode before the finale, so there wasn't really that much time for it. And secondly, because it's Yao Man. He's not going to get angry with people. He's going to sit there kind of looking at them with great anime. He's not going to add on it, though.
I've never seen Yao Man not in just a totally chipper mood. I can't even imagine him not in that mood.
Yeah, it's weird. You can tell when he dislikes somebody, because you can just tell in his tone of voice. But he doesn't make it... He never gets obviously angry at people.
Yeah, even as he's like carrying his torch over to Jeff at the Final Four, he's still like smiling, like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, we can see in his jury question that obviously he was incredibly pissed off at Dreams. But, I mean, that's understandable at that point. What are you going to do?
Yeah. All right. So anyway, moving forward here, it looks like it's going to be everyone against Jonathan Penner, at least for this round. And Jeff points out in one of his confessionals, I think very accurately, that he gave up a lot of potential power to set it up to be this way just because he wants Penner to be the next one to go. And this was, you know, like I just mentioned, quite an observation on Jeff Kent's part. And this is him kind of explaining, I think, a little bit of he took a lot of heat last week.
Yeah, and as you said last week, I thought a lot of the heat that he got was undeserved. But even a lot of people were saying, well, this is just a completely stupid thing to do. Why would he even do this? As if there were no reason for it whatsoever. And we objected to that on two grounds. Firstly, that it's unclear that what we were being shown was actually an accurate reflection of what went down. And secondly, that you could see why Jeff Kent would arrive at that conclusion, even if you disagree with it. There's no reason to be so vituperative about it. But we see maybe what he had in mind here, where he has his confessional saying that he wants to use Tanzania against himself, which is fine, but obviously it assumes he's going to get that opportunity to do that.
Right, which apparently not the case. I guess when Penner bangs off immunity, spoiler alert. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I think we can argue that maybe Jeff Penner got quite unlucky this round, because had Penner not won immunity, maybe Penner would have gone and said, and then Jeff Kent would have had another 3 or 6 days to get some kind of revolt together. But at the same time, given how fluid the dynamics have proven to be this season, I don't think we can say with certainty that Penner would have gone home.
No, I agree with that. I think there are just way too many variables in play.
Right. I mean, we saw Pete say, both on the show and in his secret scenes, that he respected Penner as a competitor. He realizes that he's a returning player, someone who's had a lot of experience with the game, someone who clearly is very shifty. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. Like, even if he's not actively strategizing, he always appears that he is. And so it's someone that he wants to remove from the game as soon as he can to get rid of that variable. And that's understandable. And it seems like, obviously, Jeff Kent had that reaction as well. And so had things stayed the way they were, then, yeah, maybe Penner would have gone. But at the same time, I can see Penner making a rational case to, like, Malcolm and Denise, for instance, and Lisa for why he should have stayed. And maybe he would have been able to get something together. We don't know.
No, we don't. And we'll actually, you know, we'll be getting there when we get there. But for now, at least, it appears that Penner's himself very much okay with being on his own, where he has this quote saying, I have no alliances, I have no allegiances, I don't care. Basically, I'm playing for immunity, and otherwise, fuck it. And this is actually, the rest of the early episode is really Lisa coming out of her shell, I would say. We talked a lot about Lisa last week really emerging as a winner candidate, and I think the beginning and certainly the middle and end of this episode, Lisa maintained that, certainly. Where she's talking about her plan now is to go for Penner and then Scoop in, and then go for Artist Pete and Abby with Jeff Kent, Carter, Malcolm, and Denise. And this is where one of the first of very many plans that we see from Lisa this episode. What did you think about Lisa so early? Because I know that you, Dom, when watching this episode live, had some pretty strong thoughts on this.
Yeah, in the moment, I really liked what Lisa was doing. Obviously, as the episode unfolded, then as that fell apart, then started to get less confident about her chances and about the thought process behind what she was doing. But yeah, we really saw Lisa come into her own this episode and really step up her game, and this was the first instance of that.
Yeah, and we definitely have more on Lisa shortly, and I think there's not a ton to go into, I don't think, on the reward challenge, but it's, your winners are Malcolm, Penner, Kent, Denise, and Lisa. Yeah, I mentioned Lisa, because Scoopin ended up messing up a couple of times here. Confirmed challenge non-beast Scoopin to settle that debate from last week.
To the point that Abby in her secret scenes, and maybe this is just Abby being Abby, but Abby thought that Scoopin was throwing the reward challenge for some reason. But he was like just intentionally being a retard when it came to clipping the thing in.
I don't know. Abby confirmed challenge beast, Abby.
Just confirmed beast in general, and not in the positive sense. But the fact that she could realistically consider that Scoopin might have been doing that shows that maybe his performance in the challenge wasn't the best, to put it mildly.
Yeah, to put it mildly, exactly. Yeah, so I don't think there's a ton more to go on with the reward challenge, but except for I think it did serve, when they were off on the reward, to kind of hammer in the idea that we should be viewing Pete and Abby, artists, as like the evil team, because they're all talking about how they're all so happy about the group that they're up on reward with, and they feel bad for Scoopin' and Carter back at camp with the evil stepsisters, basically.
Yeah, they're clearly being portrayed as the axis of evil, and I think at this point it's only a question of when they're going to get decimated as opposed to if. Like, I don't see the three of them just effortlessly coasting to the final three together, because at that point the audience would just have nobody to root for. So we can imagine a blindside of one or more of them, and I expect that blindside to be fucking fantastic to watch.
Schadenfreude for the win. Now, I take it you have this as kind of game over for them, because I think I'm with you, I think it kind of has to be.
Yeah, for sure. Game over for them as a unit. You can maybe argue that once one or two of them is taken out, then whichever of them remain is probably going to be in a decent position, because they have no reason to get rid of that one person when you're probably going to have a lot of other threats, a lot of other possible pairs or trios left in the game. So let's say they want to take out Abby first because she has the idol, then they take out Pete because he's a challenge threat and seems to be the leader of the group. Then they have no reason, it seems, to take out Artis. So you can see Artis coasting on for a while, maybe.
Yeah, I think, like you said, whichever one ends up there at the end, and I think it's probably not going to be Pete, it could be either of the other two, it's probably going to have a pretty decent shot of going deep, but not a strong chance to win.
Yeah, even if they do make it to the final three, then they're not going to win a joy vote, because I think the only way any one of the three of them could win would be to go against each other. Or maybe Carter, but he doesn't exist, so let's not consider him.
Carter, yeah, he's, what is this now, 8 episodes where all he's done is try to step in and inform Penner that he's going to go?
I liked him informing Jeff that he thought that time was just to get rid of him, just telling him right to his face, implying that he already knew that, but just hadn't bothered to tell him before.
Right, yeah, and towards the end when the plan in reality is to get rid of Jeff, yeah.
Hey, dude, I thought they were going to vote you out. Like, okay, so not only did they think that, you thought that as well. Evidently.
Well, yeah, for Carter, I think in Carter's mind, it's a lot of, as long as it's not me, I really don't care. And not that he doesn't care, it's as long as it's not me, I'm not going to put up a giant fight.
Right, I think this is
He might care very much, he's just not going to do anything about it.
Yeah, this is his personality, I think, to just be beta to the extreme. Just not assert himself in any way.
And maybe to extrapolate from there, maybe when he knows that it is him, he's still not going to do anything about it.
Right, yeah. Well, assuming that he does know that. Because it seems like he's not really the kind of guy who's going to be in the loop unless other people want him to be.
Well, he also seems like the kind of guy what's the harm in filling in Carter? But if he's the one who's going, because what's he going to do? He's Carter. Obviously, that's an exaggeration. But yeah. But if you're going to fill in anyone when they're going, Carter's the guy you want to be filling in.
Yeah, but so returning to this earlier point, we assume that Pete, Abby, and Artis are going to be broken up at some point. Is there any way you think that it's not Artist who's the last one out of that group? Because the only way I can think is, like, let's say Pete wins immunity, and then they think, well, Abby might realize that she's in the hot seat, so we're going to split the votes, or we're just going to throw some votes on Artist and hope Abby plays the idol.
I think they throw votes on Artist and hope Abby plays the idol, and I think they can assume with a great deal of certainty that Abby will not be sharing that idol with anyone else. She's going to be playing it on right. herself every time.
Because quite conceivably, now that we're down to 9 people, they have the votes to split it 3-3 against that trio if they want to. And I think that could easily be what we're going to see next episode, where in the previews, I don't think this is a spoiler because like it was in the next Time on Survivor segment at the end of this episode, they show Lisa being alienated from that group by their own effort. This wasn't just Lisa deciding that she wasn't with them anymore. This was Abby just being a spaz and doing everything that she could to push Lisa away. And I could easily see Lisa flipping over to Carter and Malcolm and Denise and Penner and Scoop and then just them piling on 2 of the 3 of them, assuming one of them wins immunity.
I could have easily seen that. However, it happened in the next Time on Survivor thing, which means there's no way it happens next time on Survivor.
Also true.
So, but yeah, no, that could actually be very interesting to make it 3-3-3 and then just take out whoever on the revote, right?
Yeah.
Assuming Abby plays the idol on herself.
Mm-hmm.
If well, Pete even gets, yeah.
And also, if they realize that that's what's going down, then they're probably just going to vote for each other. Like, I don't think they're kind of that's people true. Who are going to sit with each other for the bitter end because they're loyal and they really like each other. They're going to turn on each other if they have to.
Yeah, fuck these guys. I'm out of here. I'm going to bail on this and hope that it becomes like a Mookie and Alex situation, right? Where Alex voting for Mookie and that was the deciding vote.
You've been waiting 50 episodes to get a Mookie reference in there, haven't you?
I've been dying for it. That's got to be one of very few Fiji references. There are not a lot of historical firsts in that, not a lot of groundbreaking there.
Yeah. So one of the things we see here is Jeff Kent saying, after he's approached by Lisa, saying, oh, Lisa's so naive and so soft and so nice. Do you think this was hinting that Lisa, like everyone else, is going to outlast him eventually? Like, was this meant as a kind of ironic jab at Jeff himself? That Jeff is the one who's naive and who doesn't know what's going on here.
I think there's been a lot this season of the editors trolling Jeff Kent a little bit. For instance, like right at the very end of this episode, when they're at Tribal Council and everything seems to be very tense and Jeff Probst asks him a question and he's like, oh, this is just getting fun, Jeff, as he's minutes away from getting voted out. And in retrospect, it's like, oh, ha ha, we get it. Ah, the joke's on Jeff Kent. And this could quite easily be another one of those instances. I think certainly in his boot episode, there are going to be quite a few. And he's a guy who gives the editors plenty to work with. And I think it's too bad, actually, that we've now lost Jeff Kent, because I think he was great for this season.
So do you think this was just them trolling Jeff Kent, or was it a point in Lisa's favor, or was it both, do you think?
I think there were a lot of points in Lisa's favor, and this could certainly have been one of them. I guess, yeah, I think it was absolutely an active point in Lisa's favor, because the longer this perception is maintained, the better off she's going to be.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. I think Lisa, yeah, I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot about Lisa as we talk about things moving forward at the end of this episode. But yeah, I think Lisa's position is certainly interesting and certainly one we're going to be talking about for a while, not to step too much on it.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, yet another thing I want to mention from the reward challenge is Penner starts this pitch that, oh, keep me around because I can't win. I know that I can't win the game, which is something that I've stood by for a while as a devout Penner fan, is that unfortunately this is a guy who is going to have a hard time winning the game. And at this point, we talked last week about how just by game logic, his position is pretty terrible. Now that he's won this immunity, I think we could see that changing. But at the same time, I like this from Penner because he starts pitching to people, oh, we got to get to the end with the good people. And it was kind of the tag on this to kind of close on this good versus evil segment.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that instead of making a kind of strategic case for doing that, as in, well, these three are together and this is the best time to break them up and one of them might have an idol and so on and so forth, he decided to make a moral case of breaking them up and appealing to people's emotional sensibilities. And I can see why that might work, given you have some people like Lisa and various others. And obviously Lisa really came into her own as a strategic player this episode, so she's not lacking in that department, clearly. But I can understand why he might think that that's the best kind of pitch to make to her.
Yeah, and she said, you know, it would be nice to go to the end with the good guys, but she does want to be there with the unlikable people. And she said something like, the same rules don't apply in Survivor as do in real life, basically. That, like, you know, to get ahead, you got to be there with people that you can be.
when she had this confessional with the appropriate musical background and everything, I thought, oh, well, fuck this. Just gift wrap the million, hand it to Lisa, put a bow on it. But, as we'll get on to later, I thought that her position with regard to editing kind of deteriorated from that point, really. But this was a really strong confessional to me. Like, this was something which you could easily see being put in the winner's montage at the reunion. They spent all this time showing the emotional aspects of Lisa's personality, making her a sympathetic character that the audience can really get behind and root for. But there are obviously some segments of the audience who want to see Lisa as a kind of hardcore cutthroat player, and now those people get to root for Lisa as well. Like, they get to respect Lisa's game at the same time as liking her. And that's a perfect combination for a winner. Like, there's no segment of the audience who can really be unhappy with Lisa's win.
So is Lisa Welchel your next Cerie Fields, Dom?
I think the two of them are different in some crucial aspects, but that might actually be a decent comparison.
Let's talk more about Lisa, because she's now talking about wanting to go to the end with Scoopin', Abby, Artis, and Pete, which I think the problem, of course, that jumps out is that there's two of her and Scoopin' and three of Abby, Artis, and Pete.
Right. So I think this was maybe more of just a general statement of principle rather than a concrete desire to go to the end with those three specifically. Like, she realized that she can do basic math. She realizes that if the final five is Pete, Abby, and Artis, and her and Scoopin', then her and Scoopin' are 5 and 4 in some order 100% of the time if they don't win immunity. Like, that doesn't escape her. So maybe she was thinking that she wants to go to the end with one or two of them, maybe, but that she wants to break up that trio as a unit at final seven, maybe slightly earlier, slightly later, so that that's possible.
Yeah, we had a lot of plans get thrown around this episode, so forgive any confusion. I know there's plenty of confusion actually out there on the island and everything too.
Right. Now, when I'm rewatching the episode to make notes of this, usually I'm making some pretty broad general notes, but here I had to write down everything minute in detail because I knew that if we didn't, then we'd get as lost as everyone else seemed to get.
Right, and you have to write down, like, who's present for every conversation.
Right, yeah. This is the first time I can remember actually having to do that. One thing I thought was interesting was that when Lisa had that confessional, she said, it makes sense for me and Scoopin', rather than just, it makes sense for me to blah, 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 which suggests that her and Scoopin' are tighter than maybe we've been led to expect.
Yeah, this is a very, historically speaking, there's a lot of, I remember Amber and All Stars, there was a lot of for me and Rob. I remember JT in Token Jeans, every confessional past a certain point was, oh, for Steven and me, this is fantastic.
I think this is different, though, because in each of those cases, the fact that those pairs together was very overt and obvious. But here, there's nothing to suggest that Lisa and Scoopin are a pair, other than that, well, they're originally on 10 Down together, and they're not in this group, so maybe by default they're just closer than they might otherwise be.
Well, I would say at this point, and I know this is jumping ahead to after this vote, certainly, Scoopin', I would say, has been in Lisa's back pocket, kind of. He's voted basically how she's wanted him to vote both times so far after the merge.
Right, but I don't think you can infer from the fact that they voted for the same person that Lisa is subtly exerting powers of mind control over Scoopin' and Gap.
I feel like he's being pulled from a lot of angles, and to ultimately go with that both times, I don't think he's doing it because he's in love with Abby, Pete, and Artis.
I agree, but I don't think that necessarily implies that therefore he's being led around by Lisa. But I think his decision to vote out Jeff Kent makes sense independently of whatever had with Lisa.
Okay, fair enough.
And Scoopin' said this on Twitter. Like, people were asking him why he voted with the people who had been ostracizing him and RC from day one. He said, well, look at the episode. Pete said, it makes sense for me to keep Scoopin' around, and Jeff Kent has been on this crusade against veterans since the beginning. Who am I going to take out? Like, this, right. It makes a lot more sense for me to just side with Tandang for this one vote, and then if I want to flip things around and go with everyone else, I can do that. And it's much easier to do that if Jeff Kent is not exerting his own influence over them.
Yeah, if Jeff Kent's not part of the everyone else, especially when he's there talking about removing veteran players. Like, I remember right after Penner won immunity, he immediately came over, Jeff Kent came up to Scoopin' and was like, yeah, well, you know, it's no secret. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, sucks for you, but what are you going to do? It's much easier for Scoopin' to take out Jeff Kent now and then rally the troops against Pete, Abby, and Artis than it is to do it the other way around. Because once they get rid of Tandang, then Jeff Kent's only one guy. And sure, he's aligned with Carter, but it's easier to get people on his side now for this one vote than it is to do that later.
Yeah, definitely. So let's go back to the actual episode, I think, which is where this is where Lisa now starts blowing up Malcolm's spot regarding the hidden immunity idol, which she found at the merge. And this is a conversation she's having with Mike Scoopin, and now the new plan is to take out Penner and then blindside Malcolm at the next tribal council. And, of course, this is a running theme that we see actually several times this episode, I noticed. Penner walks in on this discussion, and this is four or five times this episode. Whoever's getting talked about, it's always, oh, they're right behind you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess it's difficult for that not to happen at this point, because when you're trying to put this plan together, you need people to be physically there to agree to the plan. And if you're just like casually walking somewhere by yourself and you see six people talking, like, not long before the vote, you're going to get suspicious and you're going to want to break that up as soon as you can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. Physically being with the majority is a critical thing.
Right. This moment when Lisa spilled the beans about Malcolm's idol to Scoopin was when I first started really like falling in love with her as a player. This is when I said, like, if Lisa continues in the same vein, then I'm going to be happy about what seems to me at the time to be her inevitable victory. And I think it's now not so inevitable at all, but I still think that if she were to win, given the skills she displayed this episode, then yeah, I'd be perfectly happy with that.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think Lisa, because like I mentioned, Penner walks right in on him, and I think she was open, like, hey, we're talking right now, talking about you. I didn't think she did it in that bad of a way. I didn't think she did it in such a way that, like, oh, we're trying to get you out immediately. I think she did it in a very friendly way, and I think Penner's response to that, where he came over and jokingly said something like, oh, I'm going to be the one who wins immunity. That's right, I forgot. I think that reflected on Lisa's kind of tone and how he felt about that. I don't think he felt threatened at all.
Yeah, that actually kind of disappointed me, because in the preview from last episode, we saw Penner saying that, and it made it look like he was just trolling Scoopin and Lisa and just being a dick to them. And I wanted to see that, because Penner going out of his way to be obnoxious is one of the best things you can have on Survivor. But at the same time, I'm glad that he was playing it safe and not actually doing that, because it means we get to see more of him, probably.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, whatever's going to keep Penner around. And now Penner actually in confessionals reveals he's never won an individual immunity, which is an interesting little bit of trivia, I guess, although it's not that surprising, I suppose, considering the only time he's made the merge, he was up against Ozzy. He makes this giant comeback in the first round. He's the last one to cross the finish line. And then he gets Jeff and Pete go on a big lead in the snake puzzle. But Jonathan Penner comes right back and ships the immunity necklace, which was fantastic. And I did a nice little fist pump when he won.
Just like he did. He had a very appropriate reaction.
I wish I had a fedora to throw up in the air.
Right, yeah, I was ecstatic when Penner won immunity, because, I don't know, I like Penner, what can I say?
Yeah, it's not great that last week he had to play his hidden immunity idol, and this week he desperately needed the individual immunity himself. It doesn't look great going forward for him. However, next round is the always critical final nine. I think anything could happen there, first of all. And secondly, like you say, I love Jonathan Penner, and I don't give a fuck what it takes to keep him on TV.
Yeah, like, we've seen this happen before to people like Choi Zan and Xian, but Penner is eminently more likable than both of them put together.
Exactly, yeah, and these are different circumstances entirely, because that's how we prioritize things.
Yeah, and also because, like, even if we did like Choi Zan or Xian, in those cases, everyone knew that as soon as they lost an immunity, they were going home, and it was just a matter of time. But this season, things are so up in the air that if Penner lasts another 3 days, that could be all he needs to get something together and turn it around.
Right, and you'll also take note, I believe, in how two both good examples, I think, Troizen and Xian, who were forced to take kind of this lone wolf approach, they spazzed out on the tribe, and Troizen talking about, oh, this is my island, and you're going to take a lot, it's going to take more than that to get me out of here, Xian calling them all stupid players, and Penner's trying to maintain good relationships, which is, I think, an important thing. Like, for instance, Chris Doherty, when he was somebody he felt betrayed by Julie after Tribal Council, didn't go and flip out on her, he just said he felt disappointed.
Yeah, that's a great example, actually. Now that everything has been blown up at Tribal Council, I don't think he actually needs immunity anymore. Like, I think he's in a pretty good position going forward, and we can debate whether or not he's going to have a tough time winning if he does somehow make it to the end, but as we'll discuss later, I imagine, I don't think he will.
Okay, interesting. Now, Dom, we may have been the only ones rooting for Penner, at least when compared to the rest of the cast there, because I really liked the clips of everyone going, come on, Pete. Come on, Jeff. Malcolm's rooting for Pete. Carter's going, come on, Jeff. that might have been, I might have hammed that one up a little too much. Oh, well. I really like that montage that no one's rooting for Penner, and then Penner comes out of nowhere. It was just once again very fantastic stuff. And again, continuing on this theme of just tremendous editing, episode after episode.
For sure. Do you think Jeff Probst is rooting for Penner?
Oh, it's a good. He's got to be at this point, right?
Because they always keep shit talking each other, but I think they like it. Like, they like having that kind of back and forth banter. And like, common sense, I don't think Penner would be invited back if they didn't enjoy having him on the show.
Right, yeah, he wouldn't keep getting invited back if he was genuinely a pain in Jeff Probst's ass.
Yeah, like Penner's the kind of guy who you can understand why people find him annoying and obnoxious, but he doesn't deliberately do so. Or when he does it to troll. He doesn't do it because he's actually a bad person, I don't think.
Totally. And now that Penner is immune, it's going to be like mini scramble time for everyone else because he seemed to be the auto boot. And now it looks like this is where the boots start getting really interesting and all the plans start forming and everything's coming together. Plan A, looks like Scoopin's going to be the boot. Why not? Returning player, right? Penner's immune. Lisa now goes and tells Pete about Malcolm's hidden immunity idol. And now she wants to kind of blindside him.
Right.
So that's plan B. And there's a lot going on at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you think this actually makes sense for Pete? Because I have to imagine that if Lisa is approaching Pete with this idea, then she's doing so with a sense of urgency. Like, she thinks that if this has to be done, it has to be done, if not now, then at least relatively soon. And I think she's right about that. And if she is, then I think it makes sense for Pete to do that, because while he may think he can trust Malcolm in the short term, then Malcolm has bigger priorities doing whatever Pete wants him to do.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And now, I think, honestly, though, a lot does come down to whether or not, if you are Pete, it comes down to your soul read on whether or not Malcolm has an idol and Lisa's being truthful with you.
Sure, although it seems like a weirdly specific lie for Lisa to tell if Malcolm doesn't have the idol. Like, firstly, why would she be buzzing Malcolm? And secondly, why would she be, like, telling Pete and telling him now? Like, a lot of things have to be true for Lisa's lie to make sense, and the best explanation for those things being true is if they actually are true.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, so, no, that's a valid point. It certainly lends more weight to Lisa's side, and that's why I was thinking her backstory came across as very genuine. I think that little caveat she added about, so there was no malice on my part, basically, when I was going through the clothes, I was completely innocent. I think that really added a lot to the story, because it really, not only was she saying what happened, she was saying how she was responding to what happened, which, if you actually experienced that, would be something you would know. Versus if you're lying, you would just go through the facts very quickly, I would say.
Sure. At the same time, though, like, if you were going to tell a lie, you would want to elaborate it in some way. Like, you wouldn't want to just say, well, here are the facts of the situation, I found out that Michael has an idol, now you need to do something about it. You'd want to try and put in some kind of narrative there to make it more convincing.
Yeah, but I feel like those are very transparent, and I feel like these small little things, such as her response to it, come across as very genuine.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, just a very small thing that I noticed that I wanted to point out, and I think is good for Lisa, at least. In my mind, at least, makes her more credible. Although, now that she knows that, if we ever interact, she could totally out-level me.
Yeah, well, it also suggests that Malcolm is doing a good job of snowing over people like Pete. If Pete is convinced, even after Lisa tells him what appears to be a perfectly plausible story, that he still doesn't have the idol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when Malcolm goes and confronts Malcolm about this, this was a very fun scene, because Malcolm, I would say correctly, denies.
Yeah, I think that there is actually a temptation there to just say, yeah, she's right, I have the idol now, how can we use it to work together or whatever? But I think Malcolm realizes that things are getting so unpredictable that there's no guarantee that Pete can even be trusted with that. Not that there was any reason to believe that he could be trusted with it anyway.
Right. You've already withheld this information from him for so long. So if you come clean now, I think he's already going to trust you less. I think the fact that he's asking you about this in the first place, instead of just acting on this information as if he knew it were true, signals to you that he does not want to believe this and does not currently believe this. And all you have to do is kind of reassure him. At least to me, that's what it would signal.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. So I would say I very much like this from Malcolm. And I don't actually, jumping forward a little bit, I don't disagree with him. I don't think it's bad necessarily to do this and then go and flash his idol at Tribal Council. I think that's still totally fine. That's, I think, a completely separate thing where he felt like he might be getting votes, and that was a good way of deflecting that.
Yeah, in some ways, I think that's actually a better thing to do if you want to gain Pete's trust than to tell Pete specifically, because when you tell Pete, as soon as he rumbles you, it looks like you're doing it just to, as like a transparent ploy. But this way, it's like, well, I'm being honest with the whole group. I have the idol. It doesn't seem like it's a kind of move that it is, if that makes sense.
Right. It's not, oh, suddenly I've been caught and now I need to instantly appease Pete again. Because if you turn around and say, oh, yeah, I do have the idol right in the middle of that conversation, that's perhaps how he might interpret it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move through a couple more of these combinations, because a ton of these ideas get floated around as people are trying to find out who's going to get voted out.
Yeah. This is where the episode becomes almost surreal, where it seems like, and maybe this is just how things actually go down, and we never see it that often, and this is just a departure from how they usually edit it, but it seems like we have all these different scenarios just being discussed perfectly openly. Like, we see Malcolm joking about possibly having the idol to Penna and Scoopin and Pete, and he's telling them about how Lisa maybe betrayed him or whatever, and there's Carter's there joking about, hey, dude, if you got the idol, you should probably play it. And then Artis in the background somewhere giggling. It's like, it's just very odd to me.
There's a ton going on, and I love it. It reminds me of early in Survivor One World. I loved the dynamic of seeing they would be filming a segment about the women's tribe, and then just the men would be lugging firewood through the background. I really like the idea that you can see all of this going on at once.
Yeah, so the next thing we see is Jeff suggesting to Malcolm that they boot out Pete. And, like, again, this is just, I think, another one of these scenarios that's been floated. We don't know how seriously either of them considered it, but given that Jeff and Pete were two of the people who received votes, we have to imagine that Malcolm seriously was actually weighing this up in his mind.
Mm. Yeah, no, this is, Malcolm ended up voting for Pete, right?
Yeah, voting with Jeff and all the rest of Pete. And we only really saw this conversation between him and Jeff, so it's unclear what further work there was between them that kind of cemented this alliance between them, assuming it was that, and not just a kind of hasty last-minute thing where they're grouping together against Tan Dang.
Yeah, I kind of wish we could have seen more of this, just because we saw a bit from a lot of different plans, and this ended up, it looks like, at least being the plan that did not work out, but I would have liked to have at least seen the attempt.
Yeah, although I think part of the unpredictability of this episode came from the fact that we never saw the plan come together. We saw snippets of lots of different plans, and it was unsure which one was actually going down.
Mm. Yeah, and it was a wild ride before this tribal council. I had no idea what was going on, and even walking into tribal council, I had no idea who was going. When they were listing through all the people whose names had come up that episode, I mean, let's think about it. There was Penner, Scoopin, Malcolm, Jeff Kent, and Pete. All came up, and now Abby Maria flashes her idol a little bit later, and now maybe she's on the chopping block. She gets a vote. It was pretty wild stuff.
Yeah, and also now that Lisa's being exposed, maybe she acquires a target as well. And this actually is an argument for why I think Denise is in a perfect position going forward. And as we always say, we will get onto this later, but think about all the people who received votes and who were mentioned in conversation. Like, Pete mentioned Denise in passing, I think, when he was saying, well, we'll take out this person, then Malcolm, and then Denise. But this is three rounds down the line. As we've seen, in this game, in this season in particular, you can't even predict one round down the line most of the time. And who are the other people that didn't come up as possible boot targets? Artis and Carter? Like, the disparity between them and Denise is pretty striking. Like, when they don't come up, it's because nobody cares about them. When Denise doesn't come up, it's because everyone cares about her so much that she doesn't even factor into that decision for them.
It's pretty wild when you think about it. I feel like if the people were really sitting there thinking about who's in a great position right now, Denise would come up on a lot of people's lists, and they might start thinking, oh, maybe we need to do something about that. But like you said, no one even seems to be considering this, and she seems to be in, like, an assassin position where she can just do whatever she wants going forward.
Oh, yeah, her position is perfect right now, and I think it's become this kind of trope that we always say, we'll get onto this later, but I think when we're going through the episode chronologically, we don't want to go off on these tangents all the time. It makes sense to just touch on things in passing to flag them up for later. So we will get onto this, just as we'll get onto all the rest of the strategy of this episode, but it's worth saving that to do it in bulk, I think.
Mm.
Okay. So what do we have next? We have Jeff suggesting booting Pete to Penna. Now, and now that Penn has won immunity and is no longer in consideration, then his vote is up for grabs and could potentially be very important, given that, as it turns out, things seem to divide along this kind of even 5-5 line.
Yeah, absolutely. Penner's votes now when you have someone like that who's going lone wolf and they do end up winning immunity, if you don't already have the numbers secure, they become a major player, which is the exact situation with Penner now. And now we'll be talking once again about this later when we talk about Penner's vote for Abby, because there's an argument to be made that did he do this for a reason? Did he throw it away? Is he a moron? Is he a genius? We don't know yet. We'll be getting to it, as mentioned, once or twice. It's very interesting to think about all the sides that are trying to get his vote that, you know, hours earlier were all locks to vote against him.
Yeah, so now we're about to move on to Tribal Council, and by this point I was already thinking that this episode was pretty good, even in the season where we've already had a lot of good episodes. But now at Tribal Council, this really took it to the next level, I thought.
Oh, this Tribal Council was fantastic. These final 10 minutes were just nonstop. So many just twists at every moment.
Yeah, and the first of these is that Jeff asks a seemingly innocuous question about whether people's perceptions of other people may have changed given some of the events that have gone down, and Malcolm comes out with one of the most awkward laughs I've ever heard. It immediately points to Lisa.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting again, I don't remember who said this long ago on this podcast, Malcolm with his hair down absolutely looks like a psychopath serial killer, and this laugh is not helping.
No, for sure.
Yeah, but early in this Tribal Council, Lisa starts spilling everything to Jeff Probst, where she goes through all the plans where, yeah, it was going to be an easy vote for Penner. Then he got immunity, and it was going to be Scoopin. And then Malcolm, I'm blowing up his spot, and he has the idol. And so then it was going to be we were going to blindside him. And so people are starting letting loose pretty early and often on this Tribal Council. And the next thing, actually, I think, is when Abby, quote-unquote, misspeaks here when she's talking about RC and Scoopin being on the outs within Tandang. And she lists herself, Pete, Lisa, and Artis, and does not list Malcolm as the core Tandang. And then it suddenly goes, oh, and then Malcolm, once he got there too, and Probst interjects with, oh, might be a little too late for that one, Abby, which I did not care for from Jeff Probst.
Yeah, and here I was thinking, as I often am, fuck you, Probst. Like, what are you doing here? I can understand Probst wanting to cause drama, and I love it when he does that. Like, in some way, it's kind of hypocritical for us to object to that while at the same time enjoying it when he does it to other people. But at the same time, like, Abby's comment, for once, was actually, like, there was nothing wrong with it. Like, the point she was trying to make, and maybe this wasn't helped by her accent or, like, the fact that she had to try and think about what she was going to say, was originally the four of us on the tribe were, you know, Pete, Abby, Artis, and so on. And then when Malcolm came on day, like, 12 or whatever, then he was added to that group. And that's a natural thing to say. It doesn't imply that you value Malcolm any less, although you obviously do. But when somebody asks you about your original alliance, you're going to refer to the people who, temporarily, you're actually with from the beginning.
Right. Yeah. And again, I know I very much like Jeff Probst and what he does on this show, but I do genuinely believe that this was way out of line. And I don't think this is the last time. I think at the end of the episode, when he says, oh, this was one of the biggest blown opportunities of all time, what are you doing here, Probst?
Yeah, so under those circumstances, is that a sensible thing to say? Because either you know what's going on, and this is just a ridiculous spoiler to the people who are actually in the game, or you don't know what's going on, in which case, why do you think you're qualified to say that?
Well, I guess in his defense, he hadn't yet realized that no one cares about his opinion.
what else does he think would count as a missed opportunity? Because they could have voted out Malcolm, they could have voted out Pete, they could have voted out Scoobin. What would they have to do for him to be satisfied with the decision they made?
Who knows? Maybe he was talking about how, oh, it could have been a tie if one of you idiots hadn't thrown your vote away. But say something more along the don't say, oh, you were this close to getting Pete, basically.
Right. I don't know. It seems like Jeff Probst editorializes more and more as the seasons go on. And I think that's one of the many kind of changes in his role in the show that people take umbrage at.
Yeah, and I actually want to give him a little bit of credit here, certainly, because he's very, very good at what he does for the most part. And when Malcolm decides to reveal his idol, Probst, maybe this is a testament how great Probst is, or maybe just Abby's retarded. He says, anyone else want to reveal an idol? And Abby comes right out with it. Yeah, sure. For some unknown reason, maybe she wants to fit in. I don't know. It's like who knows why she's showing her idol, but it seems like something so powerful and something that seemed to be under wraps, at least for most people, except probably Pete. Did Artis even know about it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, we don't know. We never hear anything from artists, even in the secret scenes. And yeah, this was interesting because it was presented as kind of a throwaway comment from Jeff Probst. But how likely do you think he thought it was that that Abby, if she had the idol, was just going to spaz out and reveal it here?
0%. Probably.
Really?
I'm sure. Maybe not zero.
I feel like it doesn't require a lot of time around Abby to realize that this is the kind of things you might actually do.
Fair enough. It seems like a standard follow-up question. I really feel like she was like, I guess this would be the time if someone had another idol that they would show it, so why not?
Yeah, and so going back to Tribal Council, another way in which Jeff kind of speculated about game content was he says that maybe there are lines drawn down the middle between Tandai and Calibur with Malcolm as the swing vote now that he's clearly been rejected by Lisa, who apparently is representative of the rest of Tandai. So what do you think about this? Because this seems to actually represent what ends up happening, but Jeff can't really know that at the time he's saying it.
Well, he can't really know it theoretically. He can know it if he knows what's going on.
Right, and there seems to be disagreement just in general about the degree to which Jeff does know what's going on behind the scenes, whether or not he, like, I don't believe he actually sees any footage, but I think he gets a very vague, broad summary. Just to provide background for his questions. And yeah, that's not a bad thing. Like, he needs that in order to do his job properly. But at the same time, it calls into question what we should think about what he ends up saying.
Right, yeah. And generally speaking, Jeff Probst is a major, major, major plus for this show. And for many years, I would not nitpick a thing he did. I just think he's getting a little bit too mouthy.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, massive Jeff Probst fanboy here, but I think this is one of his flaws, which is he inserts himself into the show too much.
Right, yeah, okay. I think people who've watched the show evolve understand exactly what we're talking about for sure. So, the next thing I want to talk about at Tribal is, right before they're about to vote, Penner says, hang on a minute there, Probst, hold the phone. So the six of us are good, right? We're going to sit and do this. And this is something I wish we could see more of this in general at Tribal Council, where people kind of reaffirm in front of an entire group, okay, the six of us are voting together, right? It's a ballsy move on Penner's part, especially when he then goes and doesn't vote with them.
Well, I think the reason you don't see it more is because there's generally no need for people to affirm that at Tribal Council. Because, firstly, usually there's a concrete plan in place way before that. It's been decided, if not a few hours before, then maybe a day or two before. And that's often the case when, let's say, you know that one person is for sure going home. There's just no question about that. And also, for that to change, something needs to come out at Tribal Council, like somebody reveals that they have an idol or some comment is made which is revealing in a way which people didn't anticipate. And that doesn't happen often because, again, people are aware that what they say at Tribal Council matters.
Oh, definitely. I think if Ave Maria this episode is any indication, people are spilling a bit too much.
Right.
But if the entire tribe's sitting there saying, oh, this is a great Tribal Council, it means people are doing things wrong. It's just very entertaining. Yeah, it's rare that you see someone with so much uncertainty about which way the vote's going to go end up actually making it through Tribal Council in such a way that Penner did.
Yeah, it was unclear to me exactly who he was aiming this at.
Malcolm, Denise, he mentioned himself and Scoop, and I assume Carter, and then what does that make?
And then Jeff Kent. Okay, because I assume that he knew at that point that he was voting in such a way that Jeff Kent would go. So was this a bluff on his part to try and divert Jeff Kent then?
I don't know. Maybe this move kind of explains his thought process in voting for Abby, presuming he knew everyone else was going to put their votes on Pete if the plan went according to plan. Maybe there was some masterful reason that we're just not thinking of, that this public display was necessary to ensure that his vote going for Abby made sense.
Yeah, I just can't think of circumstances in which people were unsure about what they were going to do, and Penner saying this would actually materially affect their decision.
Okay, I think I've just figured it out. I think this is to try to induce Abby to play an idol on Pete. I think that's rough. I'd be curious to see what he says about that, actually.
Yeah, I think I see where you're coming from, because let's say you're Abby here. Now, you presumably think that at least one or more of the people that Penner is making the signal to are voting with you. So the fact that Penner thinks that they're with him is going to be disturbing. Although, like, at this point, you have to imagine that everyone is telling everyone else a certain thing, and no one really knows how the vote's going to go, but still, there's going to be concern for you. So if he's willing to make this public sign that he thinks something's going down, then maybe it's not going in the way that you anticipate, and so, therefore, I should play the idol for me or for Pete or whoever.
Right, yeah, and I think this just only serves to further prove that Abby's never going to play the idol for anyone but herself, and she knew that she was not going to get the majority of the votes when Pete was still there unimmune.
Yeah, so if you take time to think about it, then there are two outcomes here. Either Penna does know what's going on and this is some kind of bluff, in which case you shouldn't play the idol, because if they were going to blindside either you or Pete, then they wouldn't be so upfront about it. They wouldn't do anything which would even suggest to you that maybe something is amiss. Or Penna doesn't know what's going on and is genuinely asking this because he wants some kind of thing from them to let him know what's happening, in which case some masterful plan involving vote spring or blindsiding one of you probably isn't going down, and so you don't need to play the idol. So once you see this happening, you know that the idol probably doesn't need to be played, but you only know that if you've taken the time to go through the whole thought process.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about Malcolm and this idol bluff, because he promises during tribal council, basically, he says, hey, anyone who's voting for me, perhaps not the wisest idea, because this bad boy's about to get played, and then he ends up sitting on it. What did you think about this decision?
I'm thinking that means 100% is not going to get played. And even leaving aside the fact that Malcolm was incredibly kind of unconvincing when he said that, like, yeah, you might be in for a big surprise if I play this, like, but yeah, but you're not going to play it, let's be honest. Just get that out of the way right now.
There was a lot of failed second leveling this episode.
Yeah, although I don't think that him saying that actually made any difference, but I think in general, saying that is something which is actually going to work, like revealing that you have the idol and announcing your intention to play it, because if everyone who's planning to vote for you is perfectly rational, then that's not going to do anything to dissuade them most of the time. But as it happens, Survivor doesn't cast a group of perfectly rational people. They cast maybe one or two semi-rational people and then other people who are going to be easily influenced by that kind of stunt. Generally, a plan to blindside someone who has an idol involves every single person being on the same page, sticking together, and executing the plan properly. We saw what happened in Heroes vs. Villains when Tyson essentially voted himself out, where if one person deviates from the plan whatsoever, then the whole thing goes up in flames. And so it may be that you, as the leader of your alliance, think that you want to vote for Malcolm anyway, but you think that other people who are voting with you are going to be scared enough by that display that you should go with plan B instead. And certainly, other people in the alliance may think that as well. So it's entirely possible that every single person individually who's voting for Malcolm wants to carry on and vote for Malcolm, but they worry that other people aren't going to be on board, and so given that that lack of information, it's actually the correct thing both for them individually and for them as a group to stop doing that and go with plan B.
Yeah, and for that reason, I agree with you. I think this is going to be a highly effective play, regardless of how obvious it is to thinking players.
Right, and ordinarily I would say that, continuing the point I made in previous episodes, if you have to use the idol, then that's an argument against using the idol, and you should save it for a point where it actually would. But this season, every single round, it seems, as we keep saying, things get shaken up. So if you need to use it to survive one round, then that's crucial. It can buy you an opportunity to switch things up, as we saw with Penna.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I think Penner's going to be in an excellent spot as we enter this crucial final nine round.
Yeah, and I think it's about time to get more heavy into the strategy of everything that did and could have gone down this episode. Before we do that, though, I just want to say, at this tribal council, when everything started getting crazy, we saw multiple people. I mean, I imagine that they were kind of confused by what was going on and scared of it in some way, but I think they were also really happy to just be a part of it, no matter what went down. I saw Jeff Kent saying that this is great. We saw Pete saying that. We saw Penna just in this kind of state of joy that everything was kind of blowing up around him. I think this is really great to see. Like, even when nobody knows what's going on, people are still able to appreciate that it's a game and like that this is a game at its finest. And as fans of the show, it's great to see other fans of the show being able to enjoy that.
Absolutely, and I think, like we mentioned last week, I don't think we're going to be seeing a lot of people playing for second place this season. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of aggressive play.
Yeah, I think this is one of the best casts they've ever had in that regard, not just because of their personalities, but because of like the aggressive gameplay. Even when that gameplay is not strategically optimal, the fact that it is there at all and able to be considered is a good thing.
Yeah, I think pretty much everyone left thinks that they can win. Oh, I definitely want to point out, before we move on to more of the strategy, Jeff Kent's final words here. Greatest of all time?
Easily, yes.
easily is the correct answer. Yeah, these are fantastic.
Yeah, when Jeff Kent left Tribal Council, I thought, okay, well, that's a wrap. That was a great episode and time to move on to other things. I never thought the episode could get even better just based on his final words, but they managed to do it. Fantastic.
Yeah. I would rate his final words a 10 of 10, although it would probably only be a 5 or 6 out of 10 by the time Obama got done with it.
Yeah, I saw that was going. I love how the thing that did it for me is it just started with, you know what pisses me off? Like, it doesn't even beat about the bush, just goes straight into it. And this is the Jeff Kent motto I think people expected to see coming to the season based on his baseball history.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. And this is the Jeff Kent I wish I saw more of, even though I ended up very much liking, like I said, I very much like Jeff Kent all season. For various reasons now.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people, presumably Democrats, who ended up not really liking him based on these final words, but they may have just fallen in love with him even more.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, the timing of this was impeccable, the airing it the day after Obama gets reelected. Yeah, so let's move on now. There's, I'm sure, plenty to get to about what we might see happening next week. What do you want to start with?
Well, I think, like we did last week, it makes sense to go through the core groupings individually and assess how the game seems to be progressing for each of them, and then maybe get on to making some more definite predictions about who you think is going to win.
Okay, can we kind of disregard Carter at this point? Because I'm not sure there's a ton to be saying about him right now. Like, I don't think that his position is uninteresting. I think he is going to make it uninteresting.
Yeah, like, the fact that he has a vote is going to prove very crucial, but not in the sense that it's going to affect whether he wins or loses, because I think we can be pretty safe in saying that he's going to lose.
Right.
The only thing that's going to change is what happens to other people based on how he votes.
Right, I think you hit the nail right on the head. Like, the fact that he has a vote matters, and it could come into play. I actually think it's going to be very interesting to see who can get his loyalty, and I'm guessing, I think Malcolm and Denise have a very good shot at it.
Yeah, and this is why if I know that Jeff Kent is going home this Tribal Council, as soon as I know that, I am doing everything I can to get Carter on my side, even before that happens, so that when I eventually need Carter's vote, it doesn't look like I'm just making a ploy for his vote. It makes it look like I'd be willing to work with him all along.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Do we have more to be saying about Carter at this point?
I don't think so. Like, he's clearly in the least interesting position in that regard, I think. So we can move on to... I mean, who do you want to move on to? The Abinatus?
Yeah, I was about to say, let's move on to the Axis of Evil.
Okay. So what do you see happening to them in the short term and in the long term?
Well, what I would be looking to do if I were Pete is keep the standing situation going and wind up in a final five where I'm there with Artis and Abby Maria both. Now, I don't know that that's going to be something that the rest of the tribe is going to let happen. I think at final seven, they might have a bad time with that, because I think any four people are going to prevent that from happening, which is, I think, going to be a major, major point this season, is that final seven vote. If there is a solid group of three, they are going to get held up there, I think. I think they are the most likely group of three at this point.
Yeah, that's the point at which I think Carter's vote might actually be crucial. Like, that's one way, I think, in which Pete might be able to get around that problem, is to get Carter on his side right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is that what you'd be doing now if you were Pete?
Yeah. Well, I would have been doing it as soon as I thought that Jeff Kent was going home, because, like, yeah. if I think it's either going to be me or Jeff Kent, then if it's me, then it doesn't matter what I do, I'm gone. Whereas if it's Jeff Kent, then I need to be doing what I can right now to make sure that once Jeff Kent is gone, things are going to fall the way I want them to.
I also think if you're Pete, you can make a pretty compelling argument on the grounds of, look, I know you voted for me, I don't care. It's fine with me, I think we should be working together this round, and really sell yourself as a player that genuinely does want to be with Carter.
Yeah, so if we're discussing strategies for how Pete might be able to get around what seems to be this insuperable problem at Final Seven, or whenever people decide to gang up on his group, then one other way might be to exploit the fact that Lisa and Malcolm probably aren't going to be able to align effectively now, again, because I think both of them have proven themselves to be smart, rational players, but even so, there's still going to be this lingering doubt in each of their minds that, Malcolm, for instance, knows that Lisa pegs him as a threat, and that's not going to change. Like, Malcolm's not going to become less threatening as the game progresses. So that's always going to be a consideration for him. So he might be able, at Final Seven, to be able to swing one of them into booting the other.
I was thinking Lisa, after last episode, might have been one of Malcolm and Denise's big keys to victory, if they could ride her to Final Three and then maybe take her out before or what I'm thinking is going to be a Final Two. That was a very likely scenario. And as you pointed out, I don't see that happening at all now.
Well, I think Lisa could be very crucial for Denise, because let's say some hit does go through on Malcolm. Now, once Malcolm's gone, Denise and Lisa are both really left without anywhere else to go, and it makes sense for them to team up with each other.
Okay, fair enough. Yes, that's absolutely true too. And even in that case, I still don't see Lisa going anywhere anytime soon.
Oh yeah, definitely not. So, is there any other way for Pete to get around this problem? And we assume that it is a problem, right? Do you think the other four people, or other five people, or six people, whenever this occurs, do you think this is actually something which he is going to have to work to overcome, or are things just going to go the way he wants?
It depends. I think it all comes down to Mike Scoopin, which is, if he can somehow get Mike Scoopin to stay just blindly loyal to him through Final 7, then he's got the game in his hands, I would say, because he can at least force a tie at Final 6 if Scoopin then decides to break. But I don't really see that happening. I think, yeah, any group will not let all three of them make Final 6.
Is that even conceivable, though? Like, why would Scoopin say loyal to him?
Well, I mean, he's voted with them the first two times.
But, again, that doesn't mean anything. We can't read anything into that.
No, okay. Well, I think it is. It would be foolish to completely dismiss it at this point, but again, I don't think that's going to be what happens.
Okay.
Just because we haven't seen too much from Scoopin. I think that he could easily be sitting there saying, I'm going to ride these unlikable people to the end and just not do the math.
I mean, I think Scoopin hasn't put in a great performance this season, but he's put in a decent enough one that we can expect him to do the math on that.
Okay, fair enough then. So,
It's possible maybe that he is in the correct mindset of wanting to take out Pete at a certain time, but maybe Lisa too late, as in, like, let's say Lisa does decide to stick with them, and everyone else in the game is assuming that once it gets down to Final 7, they can get Lisa on their side to take out, presumably, Pete, and at that point, if Lisa decides to stick with Pete, then Pete's in a great spot, because now he can just rattle off whichever Pete he wants at Final 7, probably get Lisa herself booted to Final 6, and then just ride his alliance through the Final 5 to the end.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That would be fantastic for Pete. My question is, it looks like people are already aware that that is too likely of a scenario, and I would say I don't think all three of them are going to make it to Final 7 intact. I think people are too wary of that.
Right, and that's why I think we could see this come together next episode, precisely because they not only do they play around the scenario of Lisa not wanting to flip on Pete, but if Lisa is willing to flip on Pete, then suddenly they have enough votes to split the vote and ensure that one of them goes home even if the idol is played.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idol is the best way for Pete to get past Final 7 with his group intact. Like, if, let's say, even if Artis wins immunity, and now it's basically 50-50 whether they vote for Pete or vote for Abby, and if they choose incorrectly, by which I mean if Pete and Abby correctly play the idol, then their home and dry is great for them.
Mm-hmm. I still feel like in that situation, I would always be putting the votes on Pete, because I just don't think Abby would ever let herself jeopardize going home. Idol could certainly be a critical thing. If we do see Pete and Abby and Artis make it deep, I think that will be why, almost certainly. It's not going to be because people really actively wanted to let them get there.
Sure. So I assume that we agree that it doesn't really make sense to consider what's in the best interest of Abby and Artis, given that neither of them can win at this point.
Correct.
And I'm
on board with that.
And if they can, then their interests are tied up with Pete's, so don't really have to think about them other than as a unit. So who do we want to move on to now?
I'm interested to talk about Lisa, because she's someone I'm curious to see what kind of possibilities you're seeing for her, because I think there are plenty.
Okay. I think now that she's taken one shot at Malcolm, it makes sense for her to continue to try and take shots at him until he's gone, because like now that Malcolm knows that he is a possible target for her, then she becomes a possible target for Malcolm. And so like, I think it makes sense for other people, independent of that, to go after Malcolm, given that the case that Lisa made is a very convincing one. Like, he is a very likable guy, he's athletic, he's good in the challenges, and he has the idol. So it makes sense to try and take him out as soon as you can, and Final 9 would be an excellent place to do that, given that you could still retain the majority going to Final 8 and Final 7.
That's interesting. Now, not to jump too far ahead, do you think Malcolm should then be wanting to take out Lisa just on the grounds that she knows, or he knows that she's going to be gunning for him? Does that then give incentive for Lisa to be his target?
Well, I think if Lisa is gunning for him, then for that to matter, then other people would have to be gunning for him as well, in which case those other people would be more threatening.
Okay. That's the beauty of Lisa's position right now, honestly.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's like Malcolm knows that Lisa is in no way on his side, and he still has bigger fish to fry. He isn't in so great a position that he can afford to care about Lisa.
Right, yeah. Now, I think Lisa has a ton of room to play. I could still see Malcolm and Denise getting desperate down the line and really needing her vote for something. I think they're going to be, once we start talking real end game, like Final Five situation stuff, I think her vote is going to be, I think she's going to certainly be there, first of all. And I think her vote could be the swing vote. And then in like every single permutation, because I don't know if she's going to find a nice little pair. And I still think there are pairs that are going to form that are going to be the power players at that point.
Yeah, once you get down to an odd number, so Final Seven or Final Five, it's going to be of immense help to her that she's not closely tied to any other individual or pair. Because then she can afford to be the swing vote between two pairs, or just to rally the outsiders to go against the pair that's left at Final Five or the trio that's left at Final Seven. So, yeah, she's in a great spot here. And I think a lot of people have been assuming that the editing is like making an even better case for her than we possibly could, given that she's had insightful confessionals about her strategy at every single point in the past two episodes. And she's even been given the narrative voice on events that didn't even really affect her that much.
Oh, totally. Yeah, she was, dictating this entire episode.
Right. But do you think this is as good of her chance as a lot of people seem to think it is?
Well, I think just through game logic at this point, she's in a tougher position. Like, compared to where I had her last week, she's gone down. But generally speaking, she's still certainly on my list of winner candidates. Just because I think there are a ton of different ways that she remains a relevant player and remains safe through Final Four a huge percentage of the time. And I think she can still is far from drawing dead to win a jury if she can make it there.
Sure. I think the Saree comparison might prove fascinating here, because I think Saree is another person who really came into her own in the post-merge, given a pretty rough start, and who I think a lot of people going into the home stretch were assuming would be able to take it down. I think at this point, we've been told that Lisa is in it for the long haul, that she's going to do well if she makes it that far into the game, but I think that's been too heavy-handed. Like, I think it's been fed to us far too quickly and in far too much detail. Like, we saw, for instance, Penna saying, oh, she's going to play this great under-the-radar game, make it to the Final Three. But she proved this episode that she's not playing under-the-radar game anymore. That she actively chose to blow up her spot there. And I think that and other quotes are showing that, you know, she's probably going to be there in the finale. Like, I can expect to see it as like maybe the Final Five or Final Four boot in the mold of someone like Saree. But I don't know. I had my reservations about her actually going on to win.
Okay, interesting. So, well, okay, again, and she's not the top of my winners list, and she did lose some equity compared to how high I had her last week. However, she's still certainly on my winners list.
Yeah, the other reason I think that her higher profile in recent episodes isn't a sign that she wins is that I think maybe the fact that she plays a big part in the events that come in the season, and we don't know exactly what part that is yet, but we speculated that she's going to be an important swing vote. I think that's kind of forced the editor's hands, where they need to build her into this big strategic force in order to explain what actually ends up happening. And if the previews are any indication, this is what we're seeing with Lisa as well, where she's going to be shunned by Pete Abinartis and going to go crying to Penna. Like, she's going to play a big role, and that's what gives rise to her edit. But the edit isn't a suggestion that she wins, it's just that, well, it has to be this way for what they're going to show in future episodes to make sense.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, either way, going to be in there for the long haul, I think. Yeah, so I think the place we want to go from here now is talking about Penrith, and then we'll close talking about Malcolm and Denise, because both of these guys seem to be in pretty interesting positions such that they have a lot of room to maneuver, I think, and not a ton of real ties with anybody. What do you make of these? Whose positions do you want to go into first, I guess?
Well, I think it makes sense to talk about them as a unit to some degree, because we saw this episode that they are coming together as a pair. Like, I think after the events of the merge, they realize that there is this strong anti-veteran mentality present that is going to lead to the demise of at least one of them, if not both of them, if they don't do something about it. And the best way to do that is for them to team up, given that their interests appear to be aligned.
So do you not think that sentiment died with Jeff Kent?
I think it's still there, but I think that it's lower down on people's priorities list now.
Okay. Yeah, right. So what do you, if you're in either of their spots, what are you looking for in terms of trying to position yourself to take a shot at winning?
Okay, well, I'm assuming if I'm one of them, I'm not going to be able to beat either Malcolm or Denise. And if this anti-veteran sentiment is there, which it will be on the jury because Jeff Kent, I imagine, is going to be stoking it, then I think it makes sense for Penner and Scriven to want to sit next to each other and one other person, presumably one of the Pete Abbey and artist group.
Okay. I'm totally with you on that.
Although I think Carter could easily fill that role as well, and it might be easier for them to get Carter in that position, given that he's currently without any allies.
I think Carter's a little bit of a different story, just because I think he does get, honestly, Jeff Kent's vote and anyone who Jeff Kent is influencing a lot more easily than one of the Tandangs.
Well, the thing is, I think Jeff Kent can convince people not to vote for a returning player, but I think it's harder for him to get them to actively vote for the person of his choosing, so someone like Carter. Like, I could easily see people saying, well, we don't want a veteran to win, but it's better a veteran to win than for Carla to win.
Okay, yeah, it's possible. I mean, it may be still, honestly, a bit too early to even consider how the jury is going to be thinking, although with Jeff Kent, I think it is fair to anticipate a bit of an anti-returning and player sentiment, because that's all we've seen from him.
Right. In Penner's case, do you think he actually needs to be up against Scriven to win? Because I think that's the natural assumption that people would make, but I'm not too convinced about it.
I think Penner would beat Scoopin, first of all, and I think he could do all right, actually, up against a couple of the Tandangs. I just don't know how he gets there with them, and honestly, if I'm Penner, that is my make something happen at Final 9 to put myself in some kind of position where I'm necessary as a vote going forward, and then try to get there with the unliked Tandang, the disliked Tandangs.
Right, because if he's up against Scoopin, then he gets the votes of Pete, Abbey, and Artis, probably. I mean, that's three. He's over halfway there at that point. And then All he needs are, like, let's say someone like Denise or Lisa maybe. Like, it's very easy for him to pick up two more votes from somewhere. And if he isn't up against Scoopin, I think he gets RC and Scoopin's votes for sure. I could easily see him getting Lisa if what we see of him comforting her in the preview is any indication. And past that point, like, Pete seems to respect him as a competitor. Like, he keeps saying, Penner is the biggest threat, and if Penner were able to make it there after everyone perceived him that way, then he'd have a great argument to make there. And like Malcolm and Denise are the type of people, I think, who would vote based on that kind of rational argument. They could be swayed by it. And even Jeff Kent, actually. Like, as much as he seems to be against returning players, what we saw his attitude once he thought Penner found the idol, where it's like, I give a lot of credit to Penner for finding that, because no one else was smart enough to do it. And I think that could easily be replicated if Penner's able to make it to the finals. He's saying, well, I didn't want a veteran to win, but a veteran was able to get in a position where he could win, despite the fact that I and everyone else felt this way, so, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a very valid point, I would say. And I also think it's worth considering, this looks like the first time. We always talk about how returning players come back, and every single time there have been returning players, at least one of them has made the finals. This is going to be the first time that it looks like, under no circumstances, will a returning player make the finals because they ended up like just steamrolling the season. It's going to be, even regardless of if it's Penner or Scoopin, unless something takes like a drastic turn, it's going to be weird things happen that allowed them to get there. Not because like Coach, where he ends up after being this giant character ends up taking over the tribe. In a sense.
Yeah, you can make the argument that things have gone the way they've gone because of the presence of returning players like Scoopin and Penner, but at the same time, they seem a lot more like just ordinary players in a otherwise crazy season than someone like Robin and Redemption Island or Dan and Big Brother 14 or whoever you want to name.
Yeah, that's exactly. It seems like no one really respects them as returning players, and they just have this kind of predisposed vendetta against them. It seems like a giant disadvantage this season with Jeff Kent there. Maybe this was a deliberate attempt on production's part to kind of end the regime of returning players just killing everyone and end that criticism.
No, I don't think production's going to intentionally sabotage their own show in order to answer some criticisms from a more entitled section of the fan base.
All right, fair enough.
I think they see value in bringing back returning players so that people don't have to acclimatize themselves to an entirely new cast of people. But at the same time, I think they realize that it makes for a more boring show when you can rely on those returning players having a safe path to the finals.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. We've seen the returning player get the gift wrapped a million.
Right. So if you're Scoopin and or Penner here, what are you thinking about going forward?
Oh, man. Get there. I think I have to be there, first of all, with former Tan Dang. I don't think – I guess Carter's another reliable option, but I'm not interested in being there with Malcolm or Denise under any circumstances.
Right. Because you know that in the short term, you're going to have to break up Pete Abinantis eventually. And then after that, you're going to have to break up Malcolm and Denise. And so it seems like Lisa and Carter, even if you didn't want them on your side, which I think you should want them to be there anyway, you're going to have to stick with them. And it makes sense because Lisa is someone who seems to be drawn to them anyway. She's been ostracized by the rest of Tan Dang. She has nowhere else to turn, really. And Carter, again, like his closest ally has just been voted out. He's looking for someone to team up with. And if you can get him on your side, then go for it.
He does want to go far.
He does indeed. And from Carter's perspective, actually, this makes sense because you know that Malcolm and Denise are both very threatening in their own right. And you don't want to team up with this group of three that everyone is targeting when you could team up with a less obvious group of two.
Yeah, if we were to talk about Carter and his prospects at winning this, Penner and Scoopin are not the worst people in the world to be up against.
Yeah, but I think, because in some sense, I think individually, each of them would be a harder opponent than someone like Abby or Artis. But at the same time, it's easier for him to get there with Scoopin and Penner, and he has a more unique case to make for himself once he gets there. Like, I am the only newbie against two returning players.
That is exactly right. That is his only case he can ever make to win.
Right. Even this little segment is far too long talking about Carter. So let's move on. Let's talk about Malcolm and Denise now.
Okay, sure. What are you thinking? Because this is Malcolm's, it's worth remembering, Malcolm's got this idol now, and he knows that everyone knows. If you're Malcolm, in the dark, I guess, what's the likelihood that you're playing this at the next Tribal Council?
It might actually be pretty high because...
Think it should be deceptively high. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think the influence of the idol increases exponentially as you get further in the game because it becomes harder to engineer a situation where all the votes go the way you want them to, even if somebody plays an idol. And it may be the case that there are other people that need to be got out, there are other priorities as well. So, like, for instance, everyone is in agreement, and we've mentioned it far too many times on this episode already, that people are going to need to get out Pete Abinantis at some point. And so, like, if you're going to do that at Final 7, now, do you let Malcolm into Final 6 with an idol? Because if you do, then he can play it and be guaranteed a spot in the Final 5, where if he bangs off the last two immunity challenges, he's in the finals and probably wins a million very easily. So if you're thinking that far ahead, you're probably going to want to take him out pretty soon, like Final 9 or Final 8 probably. And I think that's what people should want to do right now.
Like, yeah, I think Malcolm
being the target at Final 9 makes sense for pretty much everyone that isn't Malcolm or Denise.
I was about to say the same thing. And I also, as you know, and as listeners know, I hate the idea of being the guy with the idol if everyone knows I have it. I also know that Final 9, wacky stuff can happen at Final 9. I'm not really interested in that. And I think if there is going to be an uprising to get me out, which I'm not fully anticipating, but if there is, it's going to come at Final 9 instead of Final 8. So for all of those reasons, I'm pretty sure I'm playing the idol a pretty big percentage of the time at Final 9. If I think there, unless I am just, obviously unless I have the immunity necklace, of course, or unless I am just dead certain. But it's going to take a lot, I think, for me to not play it.
Okay, now let's talk about Malcolm and Denise individually, because we agree that Malcolm's position is more precarious because he's seen as this big threat, and the idol both puts a target on his back and adds a new element of complexity to his position, where if he uses the idol effectively, then like he vaults up in our power rankings. So what do you think about Malcolm's position as distinct from Denise's?
As it's distinct from Denise's, I think one of his priorities might be I need to not be in the finals with Denise as much as he might want to be there with Denise. And now the question is, how does he weight that against, can I win if I then backstab Denise? I think that's going to be the big question in his mind, because right now I think he knows, okay, these jurors, even if I vote them out, aren't going to have a big reason to hate me, except potentially Denise. Or if I turn on Denise, they might then not respect me. So I think that's got to be the major issue as it pertains to long term. Short term, I think he honestly is going to have his pick of some options, even though I think it makes a lot of sense for a lot of people to want him out. I think there are going to be some bigger priorities that people in real time end up having, such as Scoopin' and Penner or Pete, Abby, and Artis.
Right, yeah. I say that it makes sense for everyone to get him out at the moment, but if Lisa is intent on sticking with Tan Dang, then it mathematically is imperative that the other five get together immediately and go after presumably Pete. And in that case, then Malcolm would need to play the idol immediately.
Right, yeah, and I think if you're Malcolm, that is probably your, I don't know if that's your best situation, but it's not a bad one because it still leaves in who I would argue are the two least likely people to beat you, those being Abby and Artis, while also eliminating Pete, eliminating one of their numbers. And not leaving in that looming threat of, okay, this needs to be a priority before Final Seven.
Right, yeah. And also, it seems that it's going to be difficult for Abby and Artis to trust Scoopin and Penna, particularly Scoopin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Less so than maybe Lisa and Malcolm, because even though Tandang and Scoopin clearly don't get along very well, I think Scoopin at least is rational enough to realize that if it makes sense for him to go with them for one vote to get out someone like Malcolm, then he can do that.
I have a concern about Mike Scoopin that he's kind of just playing to make it as far as he can go.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think maybe being taken out in Australia and being stripped of that opportunity all those years ago and then having to wait this long to play the game again, it might make him not want to, as he sees it, squander that opportunity or make a risky move that could lead to him being voted out prematurely.
Right, exactly. I think he's playing it closer to the vest because he doesn't want to do anything that could end it prematurely.
Yeah, like if you say to him at this point, you're going to be there on day 39, but you're not going to win, does he immediately accept that? And if he does, is he more likely to accept that than some of the other people in the game? And the answer seems to be yes.
I think for sure, yeah. I think a lot more people are focused on, I want first place.
Sure. Although, I don't know, I think the editor has been doing a great disservice to Scoopin this season, because as much as we like to kind of poke fun at him a bit, I think he's a smart guy, and he knows, I think, even though, whatever reason, he didn't get along with Tandang, whether it's because he was a lot older than Pete and Abby, although he's the same age as Artis and didn't get along well with him either, I think... whatever his kind of social awkwardness, if there is any, I think he's a smart guy and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't mean to close the book completely by any means on Mike Scoopin. We could see some kind of epic Chris Doherty-esque comeback, but we're going to need to start seeing it fast, I think.
Sure. So let's talk about Denise now, because I've been seeing Denise's praises for a while. I said earlier in this episode that I thought she's in a great position, and now I want to get into that a bit further. So I want to hear your thoughts on Denise first.
I don't see how Denise goes out anytime soon, except if Malcolm wins an individual immunity, I guess. And then even if he does, I could still see them going, all right, well, we're not going to take Denise out yet.
Yeah, I think what would have to happen is everyone else in the game would have to want to gang up on Malcolm and Denise, and they would have to split the votes so that if Malcolm were to play the idol, Denise would go home, and then Malcolm would have to play the idol. And I think that's the only conceivable scenario in which Denise goes out in the immediate future.
Right, yeah, and again, it's because when you look at, okay, worst case scenario is Denise is part of a pair. Of that pair, she's the less threatening person. And the other guy has the idol too, so there's just no end. Everyone seems to trust and like Denise and feel like she's, I think Denise has done a phenomenal job, perhaps the best job of the season, at keeping lines of communication open, even though didn't see a ton of her this last episode, and maybe it was because she sounded like she lost her voice perhaps a little bit, or maybe they're just keeping her quiet for a little bit because she might be around for a while. Denise, I am extremely optimistic about going forward, and I'm also very optimistic that she will not mess it up.
Yeah, and Malcolm is the perfect buffer for her, because even if the rest of the people in the game want to go after Malcolm and Denise as a pair, Malcolm is always going to be the first target there, and not to beat a dead horse too often, but the dynamics in this season in particular are so fluid that even if Malcolm does get taken out and she's out of the loop on that, she has a lot of time and she has a skill set to make things work for her anyway.
Totally, yeah. So what are you, if you're in Denise's situation at Final Nine now, what are you trying to make happen?
One other thing is that I think Denise beats pretty much anybody in a jury vote, and I don't see that changing under too many circumstances. So she is essentially free to play as she wants with an honor, so all she has to do is get to the finals, and then she can take it from there.
I think that's absolutely a safe assumption to be operating under, which is, yeah, if I make the finals, I'm going to be in good shape.
Yeah, I think that Denise also has arguably the best edit of anyone left in the game at this point as well. Like, even if you don't agree with that, she's at least top three along with Malcolm and Lisa, and I think she's above Lisa for the reasons I described earlier, and we can get more into that if you want, and above Malcolm as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, Malcolm has, over the last couple episodes, been more visible. And over the course of the season, those two, you know, obviously in the early episodes, it was those two over at Matt Singh. And now Lisa, now that Lisa's really come into her own, it seems like Denise has kind of been taken away a little bit. And again, it just strikes me, Lisa said it as a long-term, but probably, it could easily be a winner edit, but more probably looking in the third or fourth place edit. And I think Denise, you're looking strongly at a winner edit.
Yeah, the thing with Malcolm that really spooks me is, I think that the story that's been set up for Malcolm is him not playing his idol and getting blindsided. I think there are a number of clues that point to that. And the biggest one is the focus has been on him with the idol this episode. And then when Jeff Kent got voted out, you saw him look visibly confused, like he didn't know what was going on. I think we're going to see him not really ever reclaim the kind of safe position in the game that he's had up to now.
Yeah, definitely. And I've noticed that in the previous Leons, they keep bringing up Malcolm finding the idol. They've twice showed him burying and unburying the idol. He's flipping around in his lap at Tribal Council. We're getting close-ups of it. I could easily see it being a massive story plot point. Yeah, so I think the last thing we have to go over today is updating our list of winner candidates. Now, I'm assuming Malcolm and Denise are still, and Lisa, are your top three still?
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone out there at this point who wouldn't have them as their top three.
Mm. Who else is on your list then?
Well, if I had to do it in order, those who would be the top three pretty clearly by themselves, and then below that I think you'd have Penner and Scoopin, with Penner above Scoopin. And then I guess next would be Pete, just because I don't think Abby, Artis and Carter can win except against each other. And then those three would be together at the bottom by a pretty clear margin.
Yeah, I think those are some strong power rankings. I would honestly cut off my winner contenders, my winner candidates, after Penner. I think one of these four people is going to win. I think it's going to be Malcolm, Denise, Lisa, or Penner. I really don't think I would love to add Pete into that list. I just think we would be seeing a slightly different depiction of his main alliance.
Right, and I'll put it out there. I think the two frontrunners are Denise and Lisa, with Denise having a narrow edge there. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Denise. I'm not 100% confident with it, but I'm happy making that pick. She's done us good so far, and I predict that she's going to take it all the way.
Oh, man. Well, you really stepped on my toes there. I was going to pick Denise because I just really feel like Lisa is slated for an early, for a late exit, but an exit nonetheless in third or fourth place, whatever the finals bubble is. Because I am a nonconformist, Malcolm, lock it up.
I mean, I think a few weeks ago, to say that you were a nonconformist by picking Malcolm would have been a weird thing to say, but now I think it's looking more and more like that's the case.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'm certainly anticipating neither of them going out for a little while, although Malcolm sitting on that idol is becoming a tasty prospect, I guess. And that would be phenomenal television. If my winner pick's going to go out, that would be what is certainly a way to do it.
Well, going back a few steps then, kind of reverse engineering from that, what do you see playing out to lead to that outcome?
They're going to start going for the evil Tandang probably a little sooner than they should. I think it's going to be a little bit before Final 7. I still could see one of Penner or Scoopin going next week anyway. But, you know, at Final 9, it's going to be so hard to predict. I really don't know. I don't see, once again, I just don't think any of the evil Tandang can win. I think Malcolm and Denise are going to take it for a while. I think if Malcolm sits on his idol, it's going to be somewhere like Final 7 or Final 6. And okay. I'm curious about when the idol expires this season.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, because if Malcolm sits on his idol, then there's no way it can be at the Final 6, because he just used it.
Right, yeah, if it's a Final 6, then he is, that would go down as the stupidest thing ever done.
And if it's Final 5, then it doesn't matter whether he sits on the idol or not, because he wouldn't have it at that point.
Okay, yeah, and so I guess I gave quite a convoluted answer there. I guess I'm saying, I think in the short term, we're going to be seeing one of Penner and Scoopin go soon, and then one or two of the evil Tandangs with some of the good people left in the end, and I include Lisa in that group for pretty obvious reasons, I would say. Is that vastly different from what you're thinking?
No, it isn't. I think the two big questions for me, it's weird to classify them as big questions, but what do you think is going to happen to Artis and Carter?
I think they could easily fill the role of I think a series of the next boots are going to be Penner, Scoop, and Artis, and Carter. And potentially Pete in there, too, for sure.
Can you imagine then, like, now that Jeff Kent's gone, do you think they'd say, well, let's get out the person who is most closely aligned with Jeff Kent, and then we can move on to other business?
That's possible. And maybe they could be saying it on the grounds of, you know, Carter did win that first endurance competition.
Yeah.
He might win out here. And again, I would cite that as a mistake on Carter's part winning that.
Right, because I can see if everyone else in the game thinks that Lisa is going to go with them and going after the Axis of Evil, then they can afford to let that set wait until Final 7. And so now they still have two more rounds before they get there. And Carter doesn't really seem to fit into anyone else's game plans at all, because, like, Scoopin and Malcolm just have only known Carter for a few days. I have no reason to trust him. And now, given that Penner and Denise just voted out his closest ally, Carter doesn't have any reason to trust them. So therefore, by extension, they have no reason to trust him. So I think each of them could justify to themselves taking out Carter, and I think the group would be okay with that.
Yeah, I think Carter's going to go if and when that makes the most sense for the group to take him out, and he's not going to have a ton to do with it one way or the other, how long he goes or how long he survives or how quickly he goes.
Yeah.
None of it's going to be in his hands.
So I think the other open question for me is, does Malcolm get blindsided, and if so, when? And I think the answer is yes, and I think it comes... I don't know, because I think it either comes very soon or a bit down the road, but there aren't enough rounds that there's this big gap in between those. Like, we've only got Final 9, Final 8, Final 7, Final 6, and Final 5, and then Final 4, I guess. And if the idol expires at Final 6, then there's only really three rounds left at which he could be got out before that. So if they do try to go for him, it would have to be next episode, I imagine.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't think the editing is leading up to him being blindsided this episode in particular. So, I don't know. Either way, I think it ends with Denise winning, but I'm not sure how that happens.
Okay, I think I'm less sold on the idea of him getting blindsided to you, although I was rooting for it to happen, not at all because I dislike Malcolm by any means. He's one of my favorites this season,
for sure.
Yeah, but I certainly would just root. That would be just... the cherry on top of a fantastic season so far. It's certainly capped off. If Denise wins, that's something I'd be thrilled with seeing too.
Yeah.
But I still think Malcolm's going to have a long-term role in this game.
Okay, that's interesting then.
Yeah, quite interesting indeed. So guys, I think that's all we have for you this week. Dom, if you're ready to get out of here, we thank you all for listening and take care, everyone.